It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Leeds App Podcast. I'm James and I'm joined with Rocco.
Hello.
And Dara Cunningham.
Hello.
I don't know why I did one surname and not the other. I don't know what the pattern should be with that. What do you prefer, Dara?
I'm waiting for the day to arrive when I become just Dara instead of Dara Cunningham. Because then I know I've landed like Rocco instead of Rocco D.
That's funny that, because I felt the opposite. I felt like you two had buddied up and Dara gets a special treatment of his surname now that you're pizza buddies.
I thought he was going to say, just call me Mr. Dara Cunningham. So yeah, we're going to talk about the Norwich game and the Plymouth FA Cup match and all little things in between from Leeds United this week. Before we do that, Bass and Blight, proud sponsors of the podcast, but we have a very special treat today.
Oh, Bass and Bligh and Magic, Justin wears a magic hat. Independent, trusted dealers, you'll hear it on Leeds That. Canon, Nikon, Fuji, Leica, Sony and the rest. If you want a decent camera, Bass and Bligh have all the best. 60 years in cameras, we really know our stuff. Justin's here to serve you, he can never do enough. If it's cameras that you're after, for a chat. When at home for footy, Justin listens to Leeds That. Oh, Bass and Bligh and Magic, both new and used on view. If you need binoculars, we've plenty of them too. Spotting scopes and lenses, all state of the art. Use Bass and Bligh in Harrogate and you'll be very smart. Oh, Bass and Bligh and Magic, we don't sell no tat. We are here to serve you, you will hear it on Leeds That. With Rocco and Bielsa books and James with so much wit. Bass and Bligh sells cameras and all the other shit.
David Deans, what a man. What a brilliant piece of music that is. I'll tell you what, David Dean, for anyone who doesn't know this, Rocco's dad. See, I say your dad's surname, I can't just say David, can I? He did the Pontus song, and he did that. Did he do it on radio with his acoustic? I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He went viral. So I'll tell you what, honestly, to use that little information that he had to come up with that song, and he did it in no time. So he told me that he paused the podcast at 4 minutes when you mentioned about him doing a jingle, just joking. And then I don't know how long it took him, but not long after he sent me that. Yeah, phenomenal. Incredible. Blown me away. Great
work. Absolutely brilliant. It's such a feel-good tune. And I have to be honest, I think the Pontus Jansson song is probably my favourite ever lead song, because it's just a song that leaves you with a big smile on your face. So hearing that jingle there is that's perfect. Absolutely perfect. What a way to start the show.
We don't have to talk much about Bass and Bligh as well, thanks to your dad.
That was the best thing about it. We don't have to talk at all, do we? I'm completely I feel like the weight of the world's off my shoulders.
Yeah, we better have had, and we just say, make sure you go to bassandbligh.com and make sure you follow David Dean on Twitter. He has tried to tag us in stuff and we have retweeted him, so make sure, it's not called Twitter anymore, is it? Go follow David Dean on X and I'll show. Right, cool. Thanks, David. And straight into it, Norwich. Dara was over from Ireland with your brother Shay. We met in town for pizzas and Rocco didn't. It was amazing.
For Rocco's defense, I'm pretty sure he was away and couldn't make the match in general. Yeah, good trip over. I mean, it's a long trip. We see people do these trips up and down to Plymouth and places like that, which we'll come on to later. But like Shay picked me up from the house at 10 o'clock in the morning. I think I get into Leeds for about, into the hotel for about 3:30. Flew into Manchester and then got a train up. And then same kind of situation on a trip back. And actually just saying, you know, it's a lot to do and a big commitment just for one match that's 90 minutes long. But these are the things we do for our football club. And I'm sure as a family, myself and my family, have done that a couple of thousand times between us all. We've 3 season tickets between a lot of us and about 4 other memberships. So we're over every few weeks. But obviously myself with the 2 kids, it's just at that weird stage now where I'm probably only getting over 4 or 5 times a season. So it's kind of a bigger deal. It feels a little bit more special now when I come over.
How was the plane full of Irish Leeds fans then?
Midweek wasn't so much. There was a few. Like usually on a Saturday morning, the Leeds fans would take over Dublin Airport to an extent, or at least take over the Ryanair section of Dublin Airport. And then you're just really on the lookout for Gary Kelly because he's always there. He literally goes to every game. And so it was a bit different this time because there wasn't the usual kind of lads you'd see in the airport for airport drinks before a Leeds game. So a little bit quieter in that respect. But sure, look, it's all about the football anyway, come kickoff.
Well, it's all about the pizza. How was it?
James?
Pizza was great. You missed out, Rocker. You missed out. Next time.
Got it.
We got the bus to the ground and they're doing some roadworks down there and there was no buses, so we panicked. We didn't know where they were, but it turns out they're just around the corner. Got on the bus and headed to Ellen Road, and the driver missed the turning, didn't he, Tara?
He nearly crashed into a car as he tried to make the turn, and then for some reason decided, even though he was stopped in the middle of the motorway, decided instead of just taking the hard turn and making it, he decided to drive straight on down the other roundabout, down the other exit, round the roundabout, back on the motorway, and back around again. So yeah, that cost us about 30 minutes of good old fashioned drinking time, which was a bit of a shame. But we're forgetting one big thing is that we saw Andy on the bus.
We did see Andy on the bus. We always bump into Andy. I think we bumped into. Did we bump into him on the bus last time, Rocker? I think
we did. We did, yeah.
He wasn't drunk.
What?
Yeah, it was a miracle. And we went to the Luke Ale Inn. I bet you felt like proper tourists, didn't you, this time round?
Yeah, a little bit until you had to ask me where the toilet was. I was like, it's just in there to the left.
It's true. I think every time I'd used it before, I'd had a few beers, to be honest.
Do you know what? I've never ever been in the Peacock. I have drank like in the beer garden, but I honestly don't think I've in my life stepped foot inside it, which is pretty crazy.
That's mad.
Yeah. That's the thing. I've always been in the beer garden. I think there are some toilets out back, but we were inside. I'll use that as my excuse anyway. But yeah, it was a good night, good result. The football match was all right. I mean, Leeds in the second half looked a bit nervy. We didn't see a lot of the ball, but prior to that, we were doing very Leedsy things and were very good. And Dara, when we scored, that was down in your corner, wasn't it? They came to celebrate, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was down there. We've season tickets in the south stand just over by the cheese wedge. And obviously great view of the cross in particular. That was at a really good angle. The minute he hit it, you knew it was going to land on Bamford's head. And Bamford tucked it away really nicely. Although you're reluctant to cheer until you see the net moving. That's the real acid test, I think, at any stage. But yeah, good goal. I thought Bamford actually had a decent game in general. Strong team to start off with. But Bamford, I think he had that overhead kick attempt just before that, which looked like he may have taken it off Dan James's head as well. But if you look it back, I think the defender would have got in ahead of James. But really good goal. Archie Gray and Glenn Kamara putting their bodies on the line, getting up for headers, and we both getting knocked over and getting a little bit injured in the process. Ball gets worked out to Dan James, who has a look up. Bamford, as you watch it, if you look at it from the, I think it was tweeted from the Leeds account, you can see Bamford in the background looking at the 2 defenders, and he's literally trying to get himself in between the 2 of them. And Dan James, as we've said countless times before this season, he's added that bit of quality to his game, and he literally picks him out. It's a pinpoint, perfect cross, Mel Stirland-esque, right onto his head. And Bamford does the perfect thing, puts it back across the goalkeeper, exactly what you're taught when you're training as a kid. So yeah, great goal, great goal.
I did think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm jealous that I missed out on pizza, but like when I saw that goal, it is the difference between the Championship and the Premier League, the way James collected the ball on the corner of the box and like 3 defenders are just completely stood off him, you know, letting him, you know, giving him all the time in the world to put the cross in. Not taking anything away from him, obviously. It was absolutely pinpoint, but it did strike me that you wouldn't get that space in the Premier League, would you? But how was Firpo? There's been a lot of rave reviews about him. Was he that good?
Just before we jump on to Firpo, I was just going to say, actually, Bamford's header, why are they so unsavable, those sort of headers? They sort of like go so slow, don't they, and bounce, but the keepers very rarely stop them.
I think it's momentum of the keeper. I think I've spoken about split steps before. And I think as the keeper's going back across to his right, it's very hard to readjust your foot and shift your body weight to the left. Like as I say, I play a lot of tennis, and if someone gets you going the wrong way, it's very easy, hard to go back in behind you. So fencing would be similar when it comes to footwork, and bizarrely, goalkeeping is similar when it comes to footwork and balance as well. So it's definitely that issue of your body weight momentum shifting to your right. You just can't get back to your left.
See, I was going to leave that to some sort of scientific phenomenon, but Dara always brings sense to the podcast, and which is what we need. Yeah, I was going to blame geology. So on this, Dara said, last week I said, I'm not a geologist, I'm referring to the weather. But if you think about it, the moon, giant rock, and it affects our weather patterns. Therefore, geology does affect the weather. Sound theory, that.
Yeah. For anyone listening, I suppose, whenever I'm not on the pod, I send the lads a comment every week. Where I pretty much take the picky out of for what they've said on the pod. And that was one of my favourite ones from last week was James talking about the weather and saying he's not a geologist.
So I had to find some spurious way of justifying it. Anyway, Firpo, speaking of geology, the man's a rock.
He bloody is in left back position at the moment. He was fantastic. I mean, actually, Norwich had a little spell after we had scored. And Firpo did some defending for once, which is really weird. I mean, he had that fantastic sliding lunge where he blocked the ball going straight through to, I think it was Josh Sargent, but let's face it, he wouldn't have scored anyway. Which he then followed up with as the Rocker just pointed out, blocking a cross, which is also incredibly important and something Jed Spence didn't do when he was playing left back. So Firpo was excellent at both ends of the pitch on Wednesday.
I used to find that Firpo would sort of saunter around the pitch. You know, like when we were in possession or we were kind of teeing up for, the like whoever we're playing, having a corner or a free kick or whatever, he just didn't seem focused. But this time around, I feel like I was watching him on a corner and just thought, he looks really focused. He's trying to organise people in this corner. He looks like he's sort of stepping up, which I think is probably a lot to do with Farke just sort of saying, you know, like you're a senior experienced player, you need to, you know, lead by example, because it does seem like he's sort of really changed how he presents himself on the pitch for me.
Yeah, he talked about that in an interview after the game. Yeah, he did, about like, well, he's 27, he's one of the senior players, and yeah, talking about sort of his leadership. But I mean, in the end, he was just saying that, yeah, he's one of the angriest on the pitch. I mean, honestly, he came across so well. Like it was a fantastic interview. But Farker also said, you know, Farker told, he said that Firpo was one of his main players, you know. So feels like if he's fit, he's going to be the left back. And well, yeah, so far so good, I guess.
That's interesting. I'll watch that interview because there's been a few with him in the past where I've thought he's a really sensible guy. Do you remember him talking about the Elland Road crowd in an interview once? And he was saying it's like the best place he's played because it's authentic and there's, you know, the atmosphere is always brilliant and there's, it's not tourists that go to games, which is sort of a dig at his old club, I imagine. So, yeah, he's smart and he knows how to play to the crowd or he's genuine. Hopefully it's the latter. Should I say.
Yeah, he's definitely taking on more responsibility. And on the angry man one, I got a funny one for you. Is if you look back at the highlights, you know the one where I think it was Somerville cut it back to Bamford who sliced it practically out for a
throw. Of course he did.
Look at the bottom left of the screen and watch Firpo's reaction. I won't ruin it for anyone. But go and have a quick look at the 10-minute highlights of the EFL website. And he is not happy. He is not happy at all. You just see him at the bottom of the screen having a little tantrum. It's brilliant.
Another thing for me to watch. And Dara, you have, how did you describe this? What were the words you said? You have a hatred for Norwich, don't you?
I do. I have a bizarre hatred for such a insignificant little team. Of Canaries. I think it's probably from when they were plucking out our best players, when they were picking out House and Snoddy and even took Becchio from us. It probably goes back to that. But I've always...
And giving us Morrison as well.
Yeah, how dare they? How dare they? I mean, like they Victor Orted us on that one. But like, so yeah, it's always a nice one for me when we get one over in Norwich. Probably a few other Leeds fans as well, because I say I don't get over as much now, but back in the first division and certainly the early Grayson couple of seasons in the championship, I was over all the time. So to see that team just get plucked apart by Norwich has rankled with me.
At the end. Oh, so go on, James.
No, you're all right.
I was just going to mention the one at the end where their keeper was up for a free kick and Rutter's streaming away with a completely certain goal, like, and the ref brings it back. Like, what the hell? How could he do that?
Yeah, that was disgraceful. That was really disgraceful. Because Rutter was just beating people for fun on Wednesday night. I think you're right. He was taking a bit too much out of ball from time to time as well, which can be frustrating. And probably more frustrating when you're in the ground than when you're watching on TV. But he was another player who just has some unbelievable bits of him. Like, if you remember the one where he slowly nutmegged that guy in the box by rolling the ball with his studs through his legs. And what's beautiful about it is the ball breaks back to Rutter like 2 seconds later, and you can see the guy who's just nutmegged going, right, I'm going to get him now. And he runs in and goes shoulder to shoulder. You can't go shoulder to shoulder with Rutter. Of course, your man ends up on his arse. I was like, how embarrassing is that? It's not a shame about it. He was saying, like, yeah, that's not one you show your kids. Like, you know, yeah, just got nutmegged. And then when I went for my revenge, I got knocked over. It's like, oh, God. Rutter's strength is unbelievable.
Yeah, he is so strong. And that is the one thing, and I'm repeating myself because I said it on previous episodes, but that does frustrate me a bit about Rutter when he does hold the ball too much and doesn't release it. But there's plenty of times where it does work as well, and we all applaud him for it. And there's a moment in the second half where we won a corner. And, you know, like a lot of players, when like the corner, we win a corner and they just sort of put their head down, roll the ball to the corner, little clap, don't look at the crowd. I could just, like, he was looking at everyone in the crowd and like looking at their eyes and like just smiling at them. He just loves it. Like, he really enjoys it. And I think that's one of the best things about him, is it's really nice to see someone having loads of fun. And we didn't see that last season, and he's definitely having it now.
It's infectious as well, isn't it? Good to have around the squad, in the building, as I say.
Yeah. Still, the thing that I love the most is, my fuck's time! That's when he was out of the match. Bless him. What else we got from Norwich game to pluck out?
Actually, sticking on Rutter just for a second, there's someone on, I know it was someone on, I refuse to call it X, so I'm going to call it Twitter. I know someone on Twitter saying that, you know, he won't get away with this in the Premier League, that he's, you know, he's getting away with it because he's using his strength and stuff. You can't take away a player's attributes and then expect them to be the same player. Like, you grow up with certain attributes, or you work on certain attributes, and that's what, you know, completes your entire game. It's like saying, you know, Messi wouldn't be as good if he couldn't pass the ball, but Messi wouldn't be Messi if he couldn't pass the ball. So, you know, you can't really say, oh, Rutter's only getting away with it because of his strength, because that's part of his game. He knows he's strong, so he uses that to his advantage and will continue to use that to his advantage. So I can't wait to see him for Leeds in the Premier League next season, because I think he's a joy to watch, absolute joy to watch.
I think as well, he's the sort of player where you are so tricky that in the Premier League, that's a really dangerous player to play against, in the sense that VAR is so hot and they don't, you know, you don't get crunching tackles like you do in the Championship, because everyone's so nervous of VAR and any retribution, a bad challenge. So I think he'd be really good in the Premier League now that his head's getting into the right place, and I just hope it's for Leeds, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
On that, Dara, so you think we're going up?
I do now, yeah. I think we've got a bit of momentum behind us. I think things are going in the right direction. Players are competing for spots. Like, I like the fact that Bamford's come in. I like the fact that Gruev has come in. watching Joe Rodon in those last 10 minutes against Norwich, where the ball just seemed to be a magnet to his head. I think we have all we need to get up. I just think, obviously, now we need to put it into a run. And I think, not, you know, Ipswich are having their blip now. Southampton have to have a blip at some point, and we just have to capitalize on it. So I'm definitely looking at that Southampton game, the last game of the season, as another one to come over for. That could be a belter, couldn't it?
It could be a belter. I told you about this the other night, Dara, that we planned for belter games. We went to Ipswich away on the first season under Bielsa, planned it for months and months and months. A bunch of us got a box down there, and it was a dead rubber, and it was crap. Roof missed a penalty, and everyone was sad. It was a terrible day.
It is good, like, having them on the last day at home, though. Like, it is, I think it's a blessing, because you could say it's a curse, because basically we have to finish like 4 points ahead of them, but at the same time we only need to stay within three in goal difference, so yeah, 2 points of them to still have it in our hands. So, you know, we can be third and it's in our hands still for the run in. So I do think that's a positive thing. And being at home at Ellen Road, like, offer me that now, 2 points behind Southampton on the last day, win to go up, I would snap your hand off. No trouble. So, yeah, very exciting. But then at the same time, imagine fucking that up and then
going into the playoffs on a downer, wouldn't you?
I've got my head in my hands because I'm just in pure peril at the minute. Cheers, Rocco. I'm trying to live in the now these days, Rocco. I don't want to be thinking too far ahead.
Yeah, let's do it.
Great. Anything else from Norwich? Move on to Plymouth.
Plymouth. That's where I come in. I was there. I was our correspondent for Plymouth. I messed up with my ticket. So I said that I got a ticket in the West Stand to try and sit near Farker.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. Bloody idiot. I completely forgot that he's in the south end, south stand end dugout nowadays. So my ticket was actually near the Plymouth manager's technical area. So I was nowhere near him, could barely see him. So that was disappointing. And also sitting down at football's just not for me. So I don't think I'll be doing that experiment again, to be fair. But yeah, good first half, complete control, of course. Second half, bad second half. Just nothing happened, never got going. Bad from Farker with the substitutions. Like, I've not really got on board with the criticisms of his subs so far this season, but that was screaming out for changes, especially with it being the FA Cup and the way the game was going. For him to wait until 75 minutes, I thought was ridiculous. But yeah, that's his thing, isn't it?
What did you make it to the starting lineup?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought he'd make more changes. So it's good to see that he stuck to his word. He was greedy for progress in the FA Cup. I didn't expect Melier to come out, but I didn't expect Rodon and Rutter to play. And Padoue sort of said that he would, basically. He'd already made his excuses for him. But yeah, it was a stronger team than I was expecting. And to be honest, I think I'd have probably rather seen a weaker team, not because I wanted to lose, but I think I'd rather the players got a rest, and I'd rather see what Cresswell and Gelhart can do and sort of get them greased up and ready for action in case we get a load of injuries, because, yeah, where the transfer window's going, they're the lads that we're going to be relying on in that case.
Rocco, the other week you said that Farker had said if one player deserves a rest, it's Ampadu, and he hasn't rested him once since he made that comment.
I think took him off for the injury time of a certain game, but that's it, yeah.
Bless him. And obviously the goal from Jay Dantley, that was pretty special. It was a great, I mean, we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to players that can dribble around right and left backs. And Jay Dantley was amazing. And no one deserved it more than him, did they?
No, it was lovely. It was a really nice emotional moment, and what a goal. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Last round we had Patrick Yeboah, and then we had Jaden Wallace recreating the Spurs goal from 30 years ago. It was like, yeah, very, very similar. It was an absolute beauty, and yeah, good for him. I don't really agree with the Ferrari about the booking. I think he knew he was going to get booked, and he had to get booked. No big deal, is it? Yeah, lovely goal, lovely moment for him.
A really excellent goal, actually, because even if you watch it again, where it hits the net, it's still moving. Like, he really just struck it with precision and a perfect ball strike. And I've seen him dribble two of three players again previously. What was the other game he scored in? I can't remember which one it was. He came on as a sub and he was excellent for about 15 minutes. But like that, he was taking players on. He was kind of dribbling in between two or three players at any one time, getting shots off, and then eventually he scored. He seems to have that in the locker when he's on. He really wasn't on against Norwich. And for some reason, people were really afraid to kind of to say that. But you can say he wasn't great against Norwich without lambasting the guy. And you can also say you can totally understand why he wasn't great against Norwich, because he had bigger things to be considering. But I think for his own sake, he obviously put that right on Saturday, and he was absolutely excellent throughout the game. But what a really great FA Cup goal for him to have in that memory. And yeah, shame he got booked. I think the ref could have turned a blind eye to it, but yeah, can't complain either. That's the rules. And like you say, he knew he was getting booked. Fair enough.
It's losing someone is a massive emotional bullet. And it's totally fair that he had a bad game, or not a great game, against Norwich. And let's hope it's the start of like some serious progression for him. He deserves it. So, and any other controversies in the Plymouth game, Rocco? Anything going on in the stands? Anyone doing anything funny?
Any right wingers not running around?
I didn't think Nyonto didn't try, to be honest. I think his attitude is a bit off though. Like, they're throwing himself to the floor all the time. Yeah, I mean, I came out of the ground and I was texting my mate saying, if anyone still wants to give us 20 million for Nyonto, you know, just, I can't believe we're not going to take it. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still not happy with him, obviously, for the way he treated the club over the summer and when the season started. Oh yeah, not even over the summer, it was when the season started, and that's makes it so much worse. He came back and he had to deliver, and he hasn't. He just looks just like a bang average player, really. He can't seem to do anything. And if he's going to sign a new contract, of course I want him to do well. But yeah, he's not doing well at the moment, so it's pretty frustrating. I don't even know if I want him.
Is his preferred side the left?
It is. My dad said that a few weeks ago, and it is. Yeah, I was thinking that at the game. I was thinking it's quite funny that Nyonto like never gets a chance on the left. You know, Anthony, the player profiles, you'd think that Anthony, and then he went on and cut inside and scored that goal, but you'd think that he would probably, out of the two, be more suited to the right winger's role, you know, getting to the line and getting a cross in. Nyonto, we've seen it work so well, him cutting in from the left and scoring cracking goals. And yeah, I don't think I think he played on the left against Hull and had a really good game, actually. But I think that is the only time I can remember him playing on the left. I think he got injured in that game.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar. I've got a bit of sympathy for Nyonto this season. I think, I'm not sure if it's attitude, but there's definitely something mentality-wise that's not right there. You could see it in the close-ups when, I think it was Anthony hit the post, the ball broke to Nyonto who smashed it, the keeper tipped it onto the crossbar. And as the camera cut to him, you could see him almost praying and looking up to the heavens and going, please, just something go right for me. And then a few minutes later, he got clattered from behind by the left back and the referee just played on. And you could see his face then again. He was just a bit crestfallen. So I think that situation with the summer, or in the summer, which was all his doing, he's no one to blame but himself and probably possibly his agent. I think it's just really impacted him mentally. And then you combine that with the fact that he can't get a run on the team. He is playing what I consider out of position. You know, some players can only play on the right. I mean, there's a reason we don't play Junior Firpo left or right back. You know, he's left back and that's his position. And maybe it's the same for Nyonto. Maybe he is a left winger and that's the way it is. But I think he definitely is someone who needs a bit of love at the moment, because it's not working for him. And the sad thing is, I suppose, he must know as well that no matter how good he is, he's unlikely to shift Dan James or Cree Somerville. And he's probably looking at Bamford coming into the team and scoring one goal and then going on a roll and getting back to better than Nando's ever seen him play. And thinking, why can't that be me? You know, and he kind of smacks at that kind of desperation at the moment. He's desperate for something just to go right and be a catalyst for him to get back to that form he was in. But I think it's a mentality issue as opposed to an attitude issue. Maybe a sports psychologist or something might be able to help him with that. I was saying that, maybe sign a new contract, knuckle down, and maybe that draws a line under the sand for everybody. But as he's very young, I think we have to remember he's very young. And the other thing is, he's only back from injury. Like, he didn't even make the bench on Wednesday.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he's straight back into the team then for Saturday. So I've got absolute hope for him. But yeah, there's just something missing there at the moment.
See, I was
got to say, I've got to say, I got to be in my bonnet because of that incident where he said he was clattered. I thought he just went down just like, you know, being a big baby. So, but he did actually get clattered, did he?
Oh, yeah. No, I was screaming like, yeah, that was an absolute 100% terrible foul, actually. Surprised he wasn't injured.
See, I was gonna go all in and blame the geological makeup of Ellen Road on why he's performing badly, but Dara's come in with some proper sporting knowledge that he might need to. This is what we need. And he said he just needs some love, but he's not going to get any love from Rocco, is he?
No, not until he starts banging in the goals. Fickle football fandom. Maybe, yeah, it does exist.
We talked about this the other week, didn't we? And I think levels to fickledom. And I don't think it is. I think it's more like, we need you to prove yourself now. Come on. And I think that's fair.
Yeah, you can't come into a club, have 8 or 10 good games, in fairness, really good games against top-class opposition, and then do nothing for a year and expect fans to still love you, despite the fact you've kind of handed in a transfer request and went on strike and all that stuff. He's a lot to prove, but I'd say for an 18-year-old, I think he's 19 now, like it just feels like the weight of the world is on his shoulders, and he needs a break. And I mean, something to go well for him as opposed to, you know, stop playing football.
Yeah. And Plymouth equalised, which is annoying. How did that go down, Rock?
Yeah, like a lead balloon. Yes, everyone obviously was fearing the replay. And yeah, to be fair, when they scored, I was fearing the defeat. I thought we were probably going to go and lose. I mean, first half, you couldn't have seen them even having they didn't have a sniff of. I think actually they did. They nearly scored in the first few seconds. There's a lot of teams seem to against us, actually, at Ellen Road. But then after that, there was just absolutely nothing. And yeah, this is the thing. Like, I still believe that we're not making enough chances. You know, we're dominating games, but like, we're making chances to make chances, but we're not actually creating that many clear-cut chances. There's been so many games this season where we've dominated possession, and I'm struggling to think of any real chances that we've created. And yeah, there was a couple. Yeah, in the second half, there was the one that the keeper spilt and Bamford hooked wide, and from a corner, Bamford had a header that the keeper saved. They're not really even really creating anything. Like, I don't know. And Rutter had a good game. Like, he was unstoppable at times, as he always is when he's running with the ball. But like, again, I don't know whether he's like got the final balls. I know he's like played some beautiful defense splitting passes, but there's a lot of times he's getting into good areas and just doesn't, you know, his crosses blocked or his pullbacks blocked, or he doesn't make a decision quick enough. Yeah, I'm just questioning whether he's got that end product really yet, or enough of an end product. What do you think? Is that a wild hot take?
It's an interesting point. I mean, one of the things actually I was thinking about, you know, over there on Wednesday was the atmosphere at Elland Road. And I think, I'm not taking this off topic here, I'll circle back around. I think that's down to the style of football we play. That kind of slower, methodical, always in shape. Like, I was looking at a clip from Real Madrid where they tipped off and passed it about 50 times and then just scored within, you know, a minute and a half. Something like Tony Cruz, I think, buries it. It's a famous clip. But that ball is being pinged from left back to right back. Like, if you look at it, anytime our ball will go from right to left, it might start with Archie Gray into Rodon, over to Strouk, out to Firpo. And it seems to be our instructions are to pass it one player forward at a time. So I think that slow, methodical build-up is leading to teams getting into a shape against us, which is hard to break down, which means that we're not creating as much chances. And I think from an atmospheric perspective, it does take the fizz out of the air a little bit, because until you're in that final third, almost like a Uruguayan team, say, or a South American team where the game comes to life in the final third, there's not a lot to get excited about, despite the fact that you're wearing your opponent down, you're pulling them out of shape, you're probing, you're looking for someone to switch off for a second that you can get it in behind, and more often than not, it's working for us. But yeah, no, I take the point that, you know, that type of football probably doesn't make enough chances, or certainly doesn't make an abundance of chances for a team that are fairly wasteful in front of goal.
So, I mean, we've had some terrible, terrible FA Cup matches in not too distant or recent years. And it could be worse. We could be Ipswich getting knocked out by Maidstone. That was a pretty big result the weekend. Ipswich had like 38 shots and Maidstone had 2, I think it was. And they somehow managed to live at home.
I think people in glass houses can't throw stones. I remember us losing to Mansfield. I think we hit the post 9 times back in the old Wilco days. So yeah,
I remember that.
It's like we can't. It's not us.
Exactly.
Would you have rather them equalise than had a replay? I know Southampton, they got a late equaliser today to force a replay. I was delighted with that, which sort of negates our replay. But I don't subscribe to this euphoria about like fixture congestion. Like to me, I just take it at face value. It's like there's going to be a midweek where we get a Leeds game, and I'm happy with that. And the players can handle it. They're flying to every game. I feel like it's the journalists that have a problem with it because they've got to do the long trip, so they're the ones moaning about it all the time. But I mean,
that's true.
The fans as well. Obviously, it's a long trip, so the fans that go every week, of course. But for the vast majority and for the team, I've got no issue with it. I don't think Farker's got an issue with it. And yes, certainly, I would have rather drawn that game and like kept a bit of momentum going rather than, you know, a really deflating defeat, which would have been deflating, certainly for the players and you know, the camp. But yeah, maybe not some of the fans, but yeah, we're in the hat. I think we've got a fairly exciting draw against Chelsea or Villa away. Absolutely no reason why we can't beat them. It's the FA, magic of the FA Cup.
I'm shaking my head because Rocco's... You're planning too far ahead, mate. I mean, looking at this as well, how many miles are we covering in the next few weeks? We've got Bristol away on Friday. We've got the FA Cup replay, and then got Swansea, and then we've got Plymouth again, like in February. It's like, it's a lot of traveling. Like, are they going to be shattered from this? Should we be worried?
Nah, they've said that they're going to fly to every game, so it should be fine, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I think flying by charter jet is probably different to the type of flying we're used to. Like, you're not checking in and hanging around for 2 hours before a flight. It'll certainly be way easier for them. But I do think footballers are playing far too much football at the moment. We've spoken about that previously. I don't think one other game is going to break the bank, but you certainly don't want to see too much in that front because we do have a very small squad and the injuries are mounting up. Like Gray, we got injured at the moment. You've got Gray.
Pascal.
We heard some
rumours on that the other day. I don't know whether it's true, so don't shoot us down. But he might have some sort of hairline fracture, Pascal, which could mean out for some
6 weeks.
Rob Price will fix him up.
Stealing body parts from other people. But yeah. that's probably the only way you can get into this team, actually, at the moment, is through an injury like that. And then, you know, that said, that's how Gruev can take his chance. And I have to say, I've been really impressed with Gruev. Like, his defensive work is excellent, but some of his little flicks, his little one-touch pass, and if he's going the wrong direction, he might just kind of stick a knee out to knee it towards a player or a back heel or something. That's not to be fancy. It's just to try and move the ball quickly in an improvised situation. I think he's a really good player. I like the look of him.
Yeah, I agree. Someone referred to him as like a deep line Pablo the other day. I was like, yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. we'll always just cling on to the past, though. That's all that is. The good bits of the past, obviously. Nothing else to pick out from that game? Disappointment, go on.
There's definitely one.
Go on.
Yeah, there's a big one. There's a massive one. Dara's been waiting for this.
Oh, God.
Well, firstly, actually, I'll just say Liam Cooper played very well and he saved us at the end with a lovely lunging block. So that was good. But yeah, your man, your number 9 striker, Joel Peru.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Had an absolute bloody stinker, Dara, in your favoured number 9 position. What have you got to say now?
Yeah, I have to say full credit to Farke, in fairness, because obviously it's not easy for him to row back on the decision he'd made and the press conference where he explained it. So full credit to him for switching it around and sticking him up front. Yeah, look, it didn't work. Plymouth were average opposition and Peru looked below average against them. But at the same time, I don't think that's a reason to throw the baby out of the bathwater. Peru has scored 50 goals in the league in the last 2.5 seasons, so we know he's a goal scorer. We've seen it. You know, we saw that penalty the other week where he's probably the only player on the pitch who's coolly going to slot that away the way he did. So I think sometimes it takes a while to just get your head back in the game if he's not out of it, but he was playing in a different position. He had to get used to that, and now he's got back to his old position and probably doing it in a different way. So might take him a few games to get used to it, but I'd certainly like to see him being used in the same way Bamford has been used for this season, where he's coming on for those last 15-20 minutes. And I think Peru will actually do what Bamford couldn't do in those substitute appearances and actually make an impact and maybe bang in a few goals for us, and then try and put Bamford under pressure to stay in the team, which is going to be good for all of us. So fair play to Farker for sticking him in there.
Yeah, I agree. I want to see him play up front more. And actually, yeah, I mean, it's a bit worrying because when he was it, what was the game? Who did we play last week? The home game when we won in the last minute. Preston, when he brought on Piru that day, like Piru was even deeper than Ruttu. He was like basically playing central midfield. So yeah, I don't know, but I want to see him play up front. I think it's a valid point that he's, yeah, it's his first game there, isn't it? So I think he needs to play there. He's proved that he can score goals for Swansea. He can surely score them for us.
Man of the matches, I say pluralised. We didn't do one for Norwich and we need to do one for this game as well. Dan James for me, Norwich. I thought he was excellent again.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant, and I'm obviously the founder of the Dan James Appreciation Society. But I'm torn between three. Rodon was incredible in the last 10 minutes and really was head and shoulders above everyone. I really liked the look of Gruev, and I thought Firpo was excellent. But I think I will lean towards Gruev, actually, who I thought really just knitted everything together from defence to attack very nicely all game and shielded that defence quite well.
So not a thing of that match. I've not even seen the highlights. I keep hearing about this overhead kick from Bamford. I'm going to go back and watch the 10-minute highlights so I can see Firpo angry. But yeah, I can't give any man of the... Well, I'll give my man of the match to Bamford for his header, because it's all I've seen, and stuck it away. Clinical.
Yeah, you clearly haven't seen that slice then.
And for Plymouth, I am going purely on the basis of Jaden Anthony-Scott. I think it was a great moment in a difficult time for him. And I thought he played well. From what I saw, he played very well.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't that
not
impressed.
Not for me.
I was impressed with the goal, but then, yeah, again, second half, just nothing happened for anyone. It's a tough one, man of the match. I think Ampadu was brilliant. And that was the one, actually, nice thing about being sort of a bit closer to the action in the West Stand. You're sort of right on top of the action and you see it, you know, it seems a bit faster and a bit more, yeah, intense from down there. And seeing Ampadu's control under pressure, and yeah, he's just a real quality footballer. I really enjoyed watching him. So yeah, I'll give it to.
And I'll back up my pizza buddy and say Jaden Anthony again. And partly because obviously what it meant for him as well, coming back after a poor performance against Norwich to write that performance against Plymouth in the FA Cup and score one of the great FA Cup goals we've seen at Elland Road. So yeah, happy to see Jaden Anthony take man of the match for me.
What are we doing?
A better goal than, what's his first name? Carreol? Is that the guy? He scored on his debut in the FA Cup, an absolute screamer. Does anyone remember? In the dark days of Chilino, probably. No, or maybe even earlier. No? Okay.
I'm going to look at it after this.
I'm sure it's called Carreol. He was on loan from someone rubbish and he scored an absolute screamer.
If you find it, put it on Twitter for everybody.
Yeah, I will.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And what else from the week? There's been transfer news and all that stuff. We're doing player ratings, Rocco. I keep trying to avoid this because it's always messy when we've got two to stack up, isn't it?
Well, we don't, do we? But I've had a change of heart about, I thought we should actually include the FA Cup games, but it's too late now. So let's not do that. We'll stick to the league this season. And you're going to have to make sure we just do Norwich behind closed doors, or do you want to run through it with Dara?
Let's do behind closed doors. Let's rattle through this.
We'll text.
Let's give the list.
Yeah, exactly.
Week off.
They don't want to be bored senseless through this bit, do they? God,
that'll wind everyone up.
Transfers today: a Japanese man whose name I cannot pronounce was rumored to be going to Leeds United. Then he was rumored to be going to Luton Town, and then now it's all up in the air. It's funny, like people on Twitter have massive meltdowns about these things when they sort of semi fall through as well, don't they? It's someone in the Belgium league. I think, Dara, this is probably a good segue as well in something you want to talk about. But it feels like a very Victor Orta signing, doesn't it? Lawrence de Bock, we were saying before we started to press the record button.
Yeah, I don't think you can get too animated about losing out or gaining a Japanese right back who's playing in the Belgian league. Let's face it, none of us know anything about him. He could be brilliant. He could be absolutely horrendous. We don't know. It's max of Victor Orta dodging a bullet if he goes somewhere else. But, you know, I certainly won't be losing any sleep over it if he doesn't come. But we do need reinforcements. Like I say, we've got Archie Gray's out at the moment. We always know Firpo and Byram are dodgy when it comes to injuries. Strouk is out, could be for a while. Dan James is out, we don't know how long. So our right side is gone with James and Gray. Gray was excellent against Norwich as well, by the way. But yeah, I think we're going to have to sign a couple of, at least one fullback. We have to sign at least a fullback, and it has to happen soon.
Who was our first Japanese player that played for Leeds? Quite recent.
Ideguchi.
Correct. 3 points to Dara. I saw him on his, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I saw him on his debut against York City in a friendly. And this was, I think, was that Bielsa's first game as well?
And Bielsa went to McDonald's afterwards.
That's right, yeah.
In McDonald's on the roundabout.
Yeah, and in that game, that was in the very early days of Bielsa, where he had staff around the pitch sort of communicating to the players to get his message across. And on Ideguchi's side, on the opposite side of the pitch, I think he might have had two people, and he had someone translating English to then Japanese to then Ideguchi. It's like, there's a lot of translating going on. Spanish, English, no wonder he didn't. I'm just looking actually now as well. He was at Celtic, but he's out on loan, and now he's at Vissel Kobe. Bless him.
Wasted. I've got a hot take on transfers.
It is.
Go on.
I don't even think we need anyone. I think we're fine. Like, I don't want to sign some young loanee from the Premier League that's got no experience to sit on the bench in case we need him. I'm not bothered. I know Shackleton probably didn't have a great game at the weekend, but I think I'd rather just keep. I mean, I'm a massive advocate of the small, tight-knit squad. I fully believe in that because of Bielsa, and I think it's an advantage in itself rather than bloating the squad with loanees coming in. I mean, you even look at Jadon Anthony. If we hadn't assigned him, it would have made no difference this season whatsoever. He's actually not. He scored two goals, basically meaningless goals.
Be out of the FA Cup. Here.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, if we'd have had Poveda coming on for 10 minutes here and there instead of Jadon Anthony, it wouldn't have made any difference. So I'm not saying I don't want him and send him back, and or that like if there'd have been an injury, he might have had more impact. But it's an example of the fact that if we're signing someone just to bolster the squad, I'm not bothered. I don't think we need it. I think we can cope. We've coped all season already with the squad that we've got. Yes, obviously we lost Ayling and Spence, but again, they didn't really contribute anything anyway. Yes, we've got injuries right now and it could get worse, and that's a risk. But I want one, obviously. I want like a good one. Like I want to sign someone who can improve the team. Like if we're not improving the team, I'm honestly not bothered. I'm really not. I feel like Farker can just manage and we'll be all right.
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to argue when you put it like that, isn't it? You know, especially when you name check Jadon Anthony, who's probably been our best sub this season, had come on and done quite well in games. But I would say that I agree with you on the, I certainly don't want no Premier League inexperienced loanee. But if we can get someone like a Conor Roberts, who I shared a lift with one time actually when Swansea were playing Birmingham when I was in Birmingham. If we get someone like Conor Roberts or Ben Godfrey, one of those kind of decent players who really push to be in the starting 11, then I'm all for that. But no, I'd agree, yeah, we don't want a squad filler. We don't want someone coming in who's going to be third choice right back behind Gray, Shackleton, and then themselves. But someone who could maybe step in for Gray if Gray's out for 6 weeks and be a solid, competent right back. Not to say Jamie Shackleton isn't actually, because I think, although he had a poor game against Plymouth, he hasn't let us down once this season. For me, he's been a real hero this season in every performance he's given. But I would just like that extra cover, I suppose, and that extra security blanket, because as things are going so well, and there isn't any margin for error now. We have to keep winning and winning and winning and hope that Ipswich lose and Southampton lose, that we can take advantage of those situations. And I don't want to be regretting that. If those opportunities arise, you do not want to be regretting not bringing in a quality loanee to cover you for a couple of games if they're needed.
That's my point, I suppose. It's like, if we're not improving the team, like if he's not someone who's going to improve on Gray at right back, then I just don't think there's any point, because then we're going to be weak anyway. You know, we've lost games this season of Gray at right back. Like, you know, he's made mistakes that have cost us goals in a couple of away games, and I think we've had difficult times in a few away games with Gray there. It's not his natural position. So I would love to sign a really good right back. It's weird, isn't it? Can't we just, like, there must be some right backs in the Championship that are like, who's the best right backs in the Championship? Can't we just go and pluck them? Like, we're the Premier League big boys with our parachute payments. Like, I just wish it was that easy, but yeah, obviously not.
It's funny you say that, actually, because when we played Sunderland and they had our old left back playing for them, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
He was totally competent. He was fine. It was absolutely
Huggins.
Fine.
Was it Huggins?
Yeah.
It was not Huggins. That's right. Yeah. He played under Bielsa at some point. But like, Niall Huggins and, why can't I remember his name?
Jackie Clark.
Jack Clark. Exactly. Jack Clark. I could see his hair. I could see his like big blonde hair in my mind's eye, but I couldn't name
him. Blonde hair.
Certainly more hair than me. But like, yeah, their whole left side was made up of ex-Leeds. And like, Jack Clark's a good player, but Niall Huggins looks perfectly competent as a Championship left back in that game against, you know, our super team. So yeah, just get someone who's decent and will do a job if and when we need it. Because if someone's out for 3 or 4 weeks and we need someone to fill a hole for 5-6 games, whatever it might be, games in Championship coming around ticking fast, we just don't want anyone targeting that position or give anyone that opportunity, because we have to be the ones capitalising on the opportunity that Southampton or Ipswich might throw up.
I'm going to try that segue again. And what we don't want is a Jean-Kevin Augustin type player coming in who is way below what we already have. So I do agree with you, Rocco, as well. The segue, Victor Orta, Dara, talk to us.
Oh, man. Like, this guy is, in my opinion, this guy is self-awareness. It's incredibly lacking. On the same day, the anniversary of the worst signing in football history, a signing that cost us about 900 grand a minute when you add up his transfer fee and his wages that we've had to pay for him, and I'm talking about JKA, obviously it is. A few years later, Victor Orta is on some sort of conference and he says, "Leeds fans hammered me last season because I signed Jorginho Rutter and now he's the best player in the Championship." The minute someone said it to me, I actually started laughing. I was like, is that a joke? Because, you know, that's like, are you serious, Victor? Are you actually serious? Is that you're going to take pride that a chap you signed for £35 million to save us from relegation into the Championship has been a good player in the Championship? Are you actually that mad? I wish I'd have been in that room. I would have laughed in his face. And I love Jorginho. He's my favourite Leeds player at the moment. He's brilliant. But that's not why we signed him. And you cannot take pride in that, you plonker, Rodney.
Seville, 1 point above the relegation zone as we speak in Spain. So that's nice, isn't it? Imagine if they go down. I'd love that.
And that's only because of pure luck. And you mentioned this previously, Rocco. Sergio Ramos went to them. And although Sergio Ramos has passed his best, he's still Sergio Ramos. And I'm sure he saved them a couple of points. And yeah. I think he went there because it's his hometown club and he's always said he wanted to play there. Nothing to do with Victor Orta. Yeah.
While we're Orta bashing, can we mention those scumbags and their driving bans? Marsh, Christensen and Aronson. Like, Marsh getting it as well. Like, that just tops it off, doesn't it? The manager. Like, I'm reading into that. Absolutely reading into it and thinking that they're just... It's just, I think it's a character flaw. Like, they've made it to the Premier League, they can do what they want. I mean, what other people have been banned from driving? We'd have heard about it. Certainly never happened under Bielsa, that's for sure.
No, they're all driving very slowly under Bielsa. But apparently Marsh's problem was, first of all, he was doing 100 miles an hour down the middle lane and refused to use either lanes to either side. And the other problem was he didn't offer any defence whatsoever. in court. So pretty much that's the style of football as well, you know.
So
I bet in court he he handled his own case and he didn't have a lawyer and just said all the metrics were against him.
Yeah. You know, actually, speaking of that metrics one, like that one on Simon Jordan where he says, you know, we had a game in hand. And had we won our game in hand, we'd have been 13th. So like in his mind, he had those 3 points in the bag. That was against Manchester United away. Like, how often has the Leeds team rocked up at Old Trafford and just walked away with 3 points nice and easy? And it certainly wasn't going to happen with his Leeds team. Like, Skubala did brilliantly to get a draw there, and we played great, and Nanto scored a fantastic goal. But, you know, Jesse Marsh's Leeds team weren't going to do it, because all they would have done is played it to the right and then switched it over to the left, where Marcus Rashford would have had 50 yards of space, and it would have been game over. So, yeah, he's a clown. He's an absolute clown, in my opinion.
In a lot of people's opinion. Right, anything else? Bristol, we'll quickly touch on that. Bristol.
Shall we wish Calvin Phillips all the best at West Ham?
Yeah, we should wish him.
Listen, Calvin, enjoy your few months there, and we'll see you back here in June. Yeah? All right, cheers, mate.
I'm pleased
for this chair, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very pleased for him. I think it's. I wasn't going to talk about it because I feel like we've talked about Bielsa a lot, and I feel like we always hark back to the good old days, don't we? But it's the right thing to do because he's a good lad. I think he deserves it. He's won everything. Now he's off to play some football, which I think is fair enough.
I really wouldn't be surprised if he'd fancy coming back, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
He's been here all his life. He's as you say, he's won everything. And I bet it didn't feel as amazing as he thought it would.
Mm.
But he has won everything. And now, you know, maybe the idea of a young baby and settling down, cementing that position as a local legend and living in Leeds for the rest of his life, maybe that's appealing to him. Because there's a lot to be said for that. So I honestly wouldn't rule out him coming. Although I did say, when someone mentioned it to me, I do think Gruev and Ampadu deserve a shot in the Premier League should they get us there. So that could be the interesting one, is, you know, is there a spot for him in the side? But that's for Farker to figure out, but I'd love to see him back.
Cool, yeah. So Bristol very quickly playing there at the end of the week, Friday. Long trip down, chartered flights apparently. And I hope we can win. Big game, they're 13th, not got a great record. Is it a must win? It is, really. They're all must wins, aren't they, to keep up the pace with Southampton?
Yeah. I think, it's for the away form thing. If we lose, that's just going to be so demoralising. You know, another away defeat. We have to go there, show grit and steel and get the job done.
Yeah.
We should do, shouldn't we? Got to do it.
I think psychologically it's a must win. I don't think it'll end the season if we don't. Yeah, even a loss won't. Well, we're on a good enough form now. We could probably take a little bit of a blip. But as I mentioned about taking opportunities, if we beat Bristol, we go second. And that just changes the dynamic. It puts extra pressure on Southampton. It puts extra pressure on Ipswich that wasn't there previously. And that changes how they approach their next match. They know they're in a must-win match. So, yes, I think it's a must-win game. And I think it's a great opportunity for us. And I'm going to back us to win it, because one thing I will say about Farke's team is that they do go out with a very cool head in must-win games. So it doesn't always work out, but they do go in with a very cool head. It's not like previous Leeds teams where you had those games where Pontus Janssen saying it's the most important game in the history of football, and then keeper gets sent off and we lose, and we still had multiple chances to go up that season. So it's not that. But I think if we can win it and cement that second place even for a night, that could be big pressure on the other two teams.
Good point. Rocco, are you going to say something?
Yeah, I do. I need to promote something, an event that I'm hosting.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Don Matteo, February the 9th, a week on Friday. I'm going to be interviewing him in Leeds.
Wow.
Yeah, Ball Lane, a hotel. Is it the Crown Plaza? I should know this, shouldn't I?
We'll put it on Twitter. We'll put it on our website as well. So if anyone wants to find it, who's interested in going. It's all for charity as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent job, Rocco. What a plug this is. I'm tempted to just ask you loads more questions just to see the awkwardness on your face.
I'll get my dad to do a song for next week.
You can't fall back on that all the time, Rocco.
God. Oh, God.
Did Don Matteo ever do anything? Did he ever score a goal?
No idea, Rocco.
He did score a goal. It was in the San Siro. It was a chuffing great goal, actually.
That'll be, in fairness.
Yeah.
It will. Rothwell Juniors, all proceeds go to them. That's going to be a cracking night. Did I get the venue correct? Park Plaza Hotel. I think I said Crown.
Crown, close enough. Isn't Crown Plaza? Oh, no, maybe Park Plaza is the one in Home Alone 2. Anyway, we'll put all the details on the website, spare Rocco the embarrassment. And so, yeah, perfect. Well, I hope everyone has a great week and we will be back.
Network.